There's a mom from our church that prays specific scripture. She prays this specific scripture for her children every day for years and is still praying into their adult lives. Hear this mother's prayer of just four of the 12 scripture verses that she prays through. And remember and know that the scripture is God's promises. This mom is praying his promises for her children. She prays Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them a new heart and a new mind, and I will take away their stubborn heart of stone and will give them an obedient heart. Wow, she's praying that for her children. She prays his promise for her children in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1:20. For in him every one of God's promises is a yes. Another one. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 54. These are all promises. I will transform her valley of troubles into a door of hope. These are promises God gives us. She prays these. She prays the promises for her children. Now, when the Israelites, they were complaining and they were whining in the desert and they were wandering around, God told Moses to tell the Israelites to make fringes on the corners of their garment. By touching the fringe, God said this will be a reminder for them to stay close, to pray to him, and they'll feel connected to him. God knew that they needed a reminder. So the Israelites used fringes to pray, and the mom here at Westgrove used the scripture to pray. Today I look at prayer, especially for children. And when I say children, this includes great-grandchildren, grandchildren, adult children, small children, children all ages, nephews, nieces, or the child yet born, the orphan children and the foster children, for we are one body on this earth. John Wilmot said, you know, before I got married, I had six theories of raising children. Now I have six children and no theories. Better than a theory is hope in Jesus Christ and a sure, devoted plan to cover them in prayer. Let's write their names on the palms of our hands, just as God has written our names on the palms of his hand in the scripture, Isaiah 49. Have you ever, and I'm sure you have from this pulpit, heard of Susanna Wesley? Who is she? The mother of Methodism. She had 19 children. Two of them were John Wesley and Charles Wesley. John Wesley's the father of Methodism. And Charles, what did he do? Yeah. How many songs?
Many.
I've heard 3,000 to 6,000. That gives you some idea. And she had 19 children. 19 children hundreds of years ago. I'm not sure if her house was small, but it could be big, and 19 children. Imagine it. But she was bent on praying every day for those children and for the family and her husband and for protection. And so she said, how am I going to do this with 19 children? I don't know if they have a closet. How many closets do we have? But she figured it out. She was very creative. So what she did was she sat in the chair in the middle of the room, and she put a blanket. And it separated her from the environment, and it took her away to be with the presence of God. And she'd pray, "Lord, protect my children, keep my husband safe. Lord, keep my household safe. Lord, keep me safe." There goes all my excuses. Maybe yours too, I don't know. She was a praying soul. Let the children know that you are praying for them. Tell the grandchildren. Call them up, and at the end of the conversation say, "Oh, wait a minute, hold on, get their attention. Can I say a prayer before we hang up?" Do we have estranged adult children? Pray for them. Is God leading you to pray for orphans and foster children? Scripture says in Lamentations 2, "Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for the children." Pour out your hearts like water. What does water look like when you're pouring it? It's continuing. It's flowing. It never stops. It goes on. It goes on and it goes on. It continues. It just pours and pours and pours and pours and pours and flows and flows. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. And that is what Jesus is saying. Pray and pray and pray. Wake up in the middle of the night. Lift your hands up. Plead for your children. Pray like water flowing. My favorite one is, pray a hedge of thorns around them. Imagine, vision, a hedge of thorns wherever they go. They're just going around. Nobody can see this hedge of thorns. Well, God can, and our adversary can. But they're protected with thorns. And if anybody wants to mess with them, they're going to have to mess with God. Then pray that they'll be strong, they'll be courageous, they'll have the love of Jesus, because there is a target on their back. Have a prayer journal. Look back to see the answered prayers. It's never too late to start a journal. And what a treasured possession, being able to go back and be reminded of his work. Sometimes we forget. And for our children someday to see that journal and to see those prayers that they were covered in. Scripture says, "Lord, let them grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man." That's a promise. Ask that of your children. It's our job to pray for them, to discover the God-blessed plan, their destiny. Author Mark Batterson wrote a book called "Praying Circles Around the Lives of Your Children." And the class down in room 3 is teaching, looking, reading. The moms are studying. And we are of all age in that room. Grandparents, great-grandparents, new parents. And he shared a story in this book. And he said that his friend said his grandma prayed until the day she died. And she raised 12 children. But her busy schedule did not stop her from praying. And after every meal, she'd lock herself in the bedroom to pray. 3 times a day, the children could hear Grandma interceding for them by name. They heard their names being lifted up. When she was on her deathbed at age 91, she said, though she was going to die, the power of her prayers will come to pass in each of the children's lives. Her prayer was that every member of her family would surrender their lives to Jesus. At the time, six had and six had not. That was 15 years ago at the writing of this book. The tally in the book says it was 10 yes and two not yet. The oldest one, Johnny, said yes to Christ, and this is how. Johnny's neighbor had a dream to invite Johnny to church. So he did. And Johnny walked into the church and heard the grandmother's prayer that he had heard so many times when he was a child. He gave himself to Christ that day in church. Oh, Johnny, one note here, Johnny was 92 years old. Grandmother passed away when he was 77. And from the day he was born until the day she died, she prayed for him 84,315 prayers. 84,315 times. Scripture says God's blessings are guaranteed to 1,000 generations. Our prayers for our children will shape the destiny of the children and their children and their children, so on and so on. God is talking about 1,000 generations. I can't even wrap my head around 1,000 generations. We don't want to stop, even in the discouraging times, when perhaps maybe a teenager rebels, or an adult child goes through a painful divorce or goes through illness. That's when we go to God with Isaiah 16. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. We experience heaviness sometimes in our life. I say, you get that garment of praise. This is my garment of praise. The ladies made a prayer shawl for me when I was sick, and it's my prayer shawl, and it is also my garment of praise. And when things are heavy and things stink, you put on your garment of praise. And you say, I praise you, Lord, for being beside me. I praise you, God, for being such a healer, for being next to me, for forgiving me, for loving me. I praise you, God, for all that I have. And thank you, Lord. And that heaviness will lift. Make this garment feel like your favorite sweatshirt. Make your favorite sweatshirt the garment of praise. Make it feel comfortable. Make it feel familiar. You know how you have like your favorite pair of jeans or your favorite sweatpants or your favorite slippers? Make the garment of praise one of your favorite things to put on. And then expect crazy, 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 outrageous favor in God. And humans can't possibly explain. And then celebrate. Celebrate the victory. There's nothing more important than praying for our children. If we don't, who will? It's kind of sad to me that a child is not prayed for. Pray for the children to be surrounded by people in their lives with a deep positive influence on them. Make the most powerful prayer ones that are linked to the promises of God. I will pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. Another promise. It can't get better than that. There's no more comfort than that. No more assurance than that. Everyone will have times, though, in our lives. It's going to be hard and difficult. But we want our children, when they go through those times, covered in prayer. I feel very strong about doing daily devotions. Do devotions with them. Years later, those devotions will be like memories and treasures. It'll be tradition carried to the next generation. And for adult children, email a devotion every day, or college kids, so they know that they are covered. Text script to the children each day. Remind them they're lifted up in prayer. And for parents of school-aged children, place scripture in their lunches every day. Lay hands on them before they leave for the day. It'll only take a minute. Jesus put his hands on the children's heads when parents brought their children to him. Do what the parents did in the Bible. Experience what they experienced. I wonder how many awesome moments we've lost because we have failed to act in a bold and holy way. Ask the Lord that they hear his whispers. Ask that they listen for him. Ask for their heart to be a loving heart, a heart to love others, and a heart to love God. And pray with assurance. In Luke 18, all things are possible through Christ, even when it doesn't feel possible. And then, when we get tired, remember the promise in Matthew 11, I will give you rest. If we don't get the answer that we want, if his plan's different, make the choice to believe he does have a better plan. Trust him. In the communion, the liturgy says, the mystery of faith. That's about trusting him. In the new released movie, The Shack, the main character, Mac, he doubts God. In fact, he's questioning God pretty heavily because his child died. And in the movie, he's sitting on the porch with God. And God says, Mac, don't misunderstand the mystery. In other words, accept it. And when we feel like saying, I just can't keep going on. Prayers are going unheard. I don't feel that it's working. Then go to Psalm 91. It's his promise. In the translation of the Message, it's contemporary style. I read part of Psalm 91. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you so out of trouble. I'll give you the best of care. And if you'll only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. I will be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you and then throw you a party. I'll give you long life. And I will give you a long life. Drink of salvation. God has not forsaken them. He has not forsaken us. He promises, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. What does forsake mean? It means reject. It means disown. He's never going to reject us. He's never going to disown us. He's standing right beside us. And my friend yesterday said, and he's in front of us, and he's in back of us, and he's on the other side of us, and he's above us, and he's under us, and he's in us. He will never forsake us. So the mom here at West Grove United Methodist Church says, I pray through those scriptures. It can be a real test at the faith to hang in there, wondering if prayer is having any impact at all, especially when we cannot see the outcome. Trust that God is able. Amen.